We're going to read a number of verses here on the Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh the angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, at thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they cannot pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run in among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. Verse 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in all his work. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise unto my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in thanksgiving. Our Father, we praise you that thou art God. Beside thee there is none else. Thou hast abundantly blessed us. Thou hast created all things, and we bow before thee. And therefore, since thou art the creator, you know us better than anybody else. And we can ask on behalf of our brother Jack Needham and his mother. Bless brother Jack. Bring him through this heart trouble that he's having and cause his lips to praise thee because of it. We look to you. Thou art God. And for all the others, our Father, we thank you that we can spread their needs in your presence. And we ask you now to speak to our hearts as we wait upon thee for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. We have examined various aspects of God. From Jeremiah chapter 31, we can know God. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, but he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows me. These aspects of God are so important. Then from Romans chapter 1, we examine the fact that of the existence of God, and all men are aware of God's existence because of nature. This morning we want to look at the God as a creator. Our Bible opens with the words, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Every boy and girl in Sunday school knows that verse. It is upon this that our lives are lived. God created all things. As we consider the creator of all things, there are three things that we want to keep before us in our thoughts. God is revealed in creation. That's number one. Number two, God is separate from creation. And number three, God is independent of his creation. First of all, God is revealed in creation. In Romans chapter 1, we read, and we have already studied, that men know God because of what he made. Psalm 19 verse 1 declares the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It is expected that we can learn what the Creator is like by what the Creator produced. Now the same truth can be said of human beings. When I worked at the electrical trade, when we'd get a new man in our shop, I always had to take him and, not always, but most always, I had to take him and train him or see what he can do. And you know, you can look into a man's toolbox and you can know what kind of a mechanic he is. And I learned that very early in life. You look into a man's toolbox. You look at what God has made. And all we can say is, how great thou art. For God has created all things. When you consider that the earth and the heavens are God's message about who He is, what an incredible revelation God has given us. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where His voice is not heard. The whole creation beholds the glory of the Creator, for there is no speech nor language where His voice is not heard. And He used the 10th chapter of Romans when it quotes the 19th Psalm. His line is gone out into the whole earth, and His voice to the ends of the earth. God is known by what He has done. How incredible is creation. You talk about the speed of light. The speed of light. Light travels over 186,000 miles per second. How do you illustrate that? You sit back and you think, how can I illustrate the speed of light? We tell people it takes the light from the sun to reach the earth a little over 8 minutes. The sun is over 93 million miles away. You see, in other words, if there are sunspots on the sun, that is a storm, it takes a little over 8 minutes till the results of that are felt and seen on planet Earth. But how do you tell somebody what the speed of light is? Let me illustrate it this way. If you were standing in front of me and I had a rifle, and the bullet of that rifle traveled the speed of light, and I shot you, and that bullet followed the curvature of the earth, it could go around the earth and pass through your body 7 times before you could fall over. That is the speed of light. We're talking about the Creator of all things. When we say, and then we sing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. We're talking about the God who created all things. John Phillips, the Bible teacher, in his book, Exploring Genesis, in chapter 1 of that book, he says this, the star Antares is so large it could swallow up 64 million suns. Can you imagine that? It's 64 million suns could be swallowed up in this one star. And then he adds, and the star Epsilon is so vast, its diameter is 3,000 times that of our sun, and its volume is 27 billion times more. Oh, my. But then John Phillips added this, and this is what thrilled my soul. It was nothing for God to create. To create, all He had to do was speak. The Bible says He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. But to redeem your soul, He had to go to Calvary's cross. When you think of the vastness and the number of the stars, the Word of God simply uses a few words, and He made the stars also. But to talk about the great work of redemption, He gave us a whole book. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth the handiwork of the Creator. What is the love of God like? When we talk and we sing about the love of God, if creation is so great, revealing the Creator, what is the love of God like? When you read a verse like Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. How great is our God! What a universe! Therefore, what a God! But you see, friends, what we see today
in the universe, which declares His glory is not like it was when it was created, because it has been marred by the sinfulness of man. But there's a day coming when the universe, by our blessed Lord, is going to be restored to its pristine beauty. And only God can do it. God, the Creator. So while we say that God is revealed in His creation, that is absolutely right. But second, we gotta say the creation is, the Creator is separate from His creation. God is not to be identified by nature. We can't say, like the nature lovers, if you get in touch with nature, you get in touch with God. We can't say that. For the nature lovers, they talk about God in a flower, a river. But that is not biblical understanding about God. God is not in a flower. God is not in a river. That is what is known as pantheism. Pantheism sees God everywhere, and pantheism is spreading like wildfire in our youth today. Atheism means no God. Monotheism means one God. But pantheism is a belief that everything is God, and everything is a part of God. Now, many see the beauty of the natural world, but they are too blind to see the one who stands behind it and is the source of it all. God being separate from His creation is what is known as the transcendence of God. We speak of God as a transcendent God. He has created all things, but He Himself is separate from His creation. And while God is transcendent, He is also immanent in His creation. God can be anywhere in His creation. He wants to be. He created it all, and yet He is separate from it. God is high above. He is revealed in His creation, yet He is separate from the creation. But the third thing we want to dwell on this morning is the Creator is independent of what He has made. God is self-sufficient. God is self-existent. God was before the universe. The universe owes its existence to God. God owes His origin to no one, for He had no origin. God had no beginning. He never began to exist. He always was. And that is revealed in the name Jehovah. That was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. When the Lord God said to Moses, take the shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Why was it holy? God was there. He was in the presence of the Almighty. And Moses said, what is your name? And he says, I am that I am. I am Jehovah. I always was. Now we have to answer questions for our children. Children ask the question, Daddy, where did the dog come from? And whenever I think of a dog, I think of a dog that a friend of mine had one time, and that dog's name was Buffy. Where does the dog come from? And Daddy answers, oh, the puppy came from mother dog, the mother dog. Well, where did the mother dog come from? Well, the mother dog came from the mother, from her mother dog. And you go all the way back, and finally you get back to God. And then the question, where did God come from? You see, eventually you get there. You see, God did not make Himself. He always was. It is logical to say that some being in the universe always existed. Everything else has an origin, a beginning, a cause, except God. Everything is dependent upon God. God is self-existent. God is self sufficient. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read concerning the Word of God, the person of Christ. He says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything you see, if it's a person, if it's a horse, if it's a giraffe, if it's the ocean, He made it all. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We have some beautiful words in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1 and verse 16 we read, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. In other words, the universe is dependent upon God for its origin, but it's also dependent upon God for its maintenance. By Him, all things consist. You and I don't maintain the universe. God does. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. He upholds all things. God gives to the ungodly man the very breath He uses to curse him. The one that they curse holds them in His hand. The Creator is self-sufficient. That leaves me with a thought. And that is this. God does not need me, and God does not need you. I want you to turn to that, to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, I read these words. God that made the world, that's taken for granted. And all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. And hath determined, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. How often we listen to men and they preach and they portray God as a beggar. God pleading with man to open his heart. God is not a beggar, friends. How often I've heard preachers say, God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. I'd like to ask you a question. How did God create the world if you weren't around? How did He do it? He did it, friends, without any of us. Without you and without me. This Creator that we worship. When we sing, oh, worship the King, all glorious above. This Creator is self-existent, self-sufficient. He's independent. Friends, that He created anything is in itself a mystery, for God doesn't need anything. Think it over. God doesn't need anything. And that He created anything is in itself a mystery. Well, when we take these three things together, we got to apply this truth. How does that affect me? knowing God as creator, how does that affect us? When I started this morning, I started with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And every Sunday school boy and girl knows that. And we base our lives upon that truth. How can I apply that to my life as a child of God? As the great theologian wrote, how shall we then live knowing these truths? I'd like to mention four things in application. Number one, since God created all things, we can enjoy the created order. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We can enjoy the created order. And God expects us to do that. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In other words, you and I can enjoy God's creative order, His creation, and that includes the physical as well as that which is external from us. Believers are especially to partake of all that God has created. It is to be received with thanksgiving. Things that God created to be enjoyed must be enjoyed, however, within the boundaries God, the Creator, set. The Creator set the boundaries. And God expects us to enjoy the physical union of marriage. And sex outside of the marriage relationship, God condemns and God is going to judge. So says the Word of God. So you see, the Creator gives us all things to enjoy, but the enjoyment of these things must be within the boundaries that God, the Creator, set. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and we begin our reading at verse 11. We want to read verses 11 and verse 12. Isaiah 45, verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and I created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Now go back to verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And we have men today who are striving with our maker. Woe unto men who striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hand. So the first way of application, God expects us to enjoy His creation, and if we don't enjoy it, as believers especially, who have been saved by God's grace, we're missing God's portion for us. But there's a second application, which I think is important. And that application is we can appreciate ourselves. Psalm 139. Are you happy with yourself? You see, this is what we call fulfillment. In the 139th Psalm, the psalmist says, Lord, thou search me and know me. You understand my down sitting, my uprising. There's not a thought in my mind, a word in my tongue, but, oh Lord, you know it all together. And before I ever existed, you knew every member of my body. And you formed it just the way you wanted. Now I'm paraphrasing. But that's what Psalm 139 says. In other words, we can appreciate ourselves. God made me the way He wanted me. And that's glorious truth. It delivers us from envy of somebody else. We don't need to be envious of the gift that somebody else has, because God didn't give me that gift. We don't need to be envious of anybody else. We can accept ourselves as God made us. You see, God made me the way I am so that I fulfill the will of God in my life. You know, there are statements. I said this in the Sunday school hour. I'm going to say it again. We hear things today. I want to be fulfilled. Did you ever hear somebody say that? I don't want the role that's laid out in the Word of God. I want to live a fulfilled life. Well, where's your standard? And when a Christian says that, they're usually saying it using the world as a standard, not the Word of God. And the problem is, we don't accept ourselves, nor do we accept the role in life that God has given us. And the life of a Christian will never be fulfilled who misses that sweet fellowship with God and a recognition and an acceptance of the fact that God made me the way He wanted me to be. To be fulfilled means that you obey the will of God. For the will of God abideth, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's a third application. The first one is, we can enjoy God's creation. The second is, we can appreciate ourselves. The third is, since God is the creator, we must live for him. Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And Job had to learn that lesson. And I invite you to turn to Job chapter 38. Job 38. Job had spoken rashly with his lips in answer to Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz. But in chapter 38, Job has to speak with God, or God speaks with Job. And a good thing to read is Job 38 to the end of the chapter, to the end of the book. And the word of God says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee. And you answer me, answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with his doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof in the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. And God goes through asking Job questions. In one of the questions, he said, Job, you see that eagle up there? Tell it to rise and fly. Can you command the eagle? Can you make any commands that mean anything when it comes to the creative order? God said to Job, where were you? At the end, Job holds his mouth shut. He said, I can't answer. I repent in just an ashes. God remains God. God is reminding Job of who he is, and he has a right to do what he will with his creation. God had every right to make me without a singing voice. God had every right to make me without curly hair. God had every right to make me with feet that I have to wear number 12 shoes. And you can go down the list. I can make another statement. God had every right, has every right to make a decree that you lose all your hair. See, I looked at Mr. Powell and I thought of that. He's my dear friend, you know. Listen. Do we accept this truth from God. Now, friend, if you really don't live for the Lord, you will never realize fulfillment in this life. God has made us for himself. And like Augustine said, our hearts are restless till they rest in him. Are you resting in him? You see, that first rest in Christ comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. If your sins have never been forgiven, if you don't know Christ in as a savior from sin, your heart will never be at rest, and you'll never know fulfillment. That's where it all begins. And we can sing from the heart, I think as we did with the last Sunday morning, we began with a hymn, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. And I love the middle stanza of that hymn. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. But there's a fourth application that we must make. And we must make it at the reading of the Word of God. Because God is Creator, we must humbly praise him. Our knowledge of God humbled us. We stand in awe of God. So we turn to Psalm 95. We stand in awe of God. In the 95th Psalm we read, O come. This is worship. Here's a psalm that teaches us how to worship. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Oh, friends, God is the Creator. And to know him means you must worship. You must stand in awe of him. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to worship. And then we're going to sing. And then we're going to go home. And I hope worship tomorrow. Let's sing first. Hymn number 58. Hymn number 58 in our hymn book. Hear us, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man of Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. And we'll sing the first, and then we'll sing the last, beautiful Savior, Lord of the nation. So let's sing together as we stand in worship of our great Creator.
worship the Lord. Our Father, thou great Creator, we stand in awe of thee. Thou art mighty. Yea, Lord, thou art almighty. We need to hold our hands over our mouth, like Job did, as he beheld to your question, how great thou art. But we who know thee in a personal way, we who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we sing, and when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, the great Creator became a man. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. How great thou art. What a revelation of power and glory and wisdom. We offer to thee the thanksgivings of our heart. We stand in awe of thee. We would not strive with our Maker. Rather, we acknowledge thy greatness, thy faithfulness, thy love, and thy mercy. Now, Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for yourself, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may thy grace, mercy, and peace be the portion of each one who knows thee. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.